episode 28, Matthew, of the Talking Bear Football podcast.
On westbranchfootball.com.
See, that's, this is the part of the podcast that's, it's fun. It's always fun to put these podcasts together and sit here and talk about West Branch football, Matt. But this is the final time we're going to get to do it for 2015.
Yeah.
But we're going to get to talk about an outstanding football game. The final game, it's a little bit different feel than what it was a year ago. Mm-hmm. Where that game was, honestly, it was over early. The Bears never really, they got it back to 20-12 a year ago, and then it went to 27 or 28-12, and it never really, they never really got back into that game, mm-hmm. so to speak.
Right.
This year, it ends on a really, it ends on a sad note because they lose, but they're in a game with the number one team in the state, the Regina Regals. Final score, Regina 35, West Branch 28. I mean, it was a heavyweight boxing match, literally, from the opening kickoff, trading body blow, seven points here, 7 points there, you know, and the funny thing is, man, Regina scores on the opening drive. They fumble on the second play from scrimmage, and we were three West Branch guys touch it, and they couldn't pull it in.
Yeah.
How much differently it could have started, and that, the mindset gets differently then.
That was, I mean, that's kind of the story of the game. You know, just Regina, you know, had a lapse, and we were just close to taking advantage of it.
Yeah.
And really turning the game around. I mean, you even like half of those mistakes go our way.
Yeah.
And it's a different
game. It's a completely different game.
There's so many things that we can tie into this game to where we could say that West Branch could have easily won it, but
West Branch could have won.
Oh,
easily. I'm not gonna use the word should have because no. I don't know where that has the right connotation here, no. But could have.
Yeah.
When you only lose by seven, yeah. When you're driving at the end of the game, when it's tied and driving to have the opportunity for the go-ahead touchdown, you could have won.
Could Regina have won by more than seven?
Yes. Probably.
Yeah.
Probably could have as well.
There were so many key moments in this game that went to either team's way. And I just, you know, Regina had kind of, they had a lot more go their way.
Yeah.
That's the way it works.
That's it. That's football. You can say it. It's okay.
I know.
You know, contrary to what Stephen Gray said in our game capsule, some people don't like that around here. But that's football.
Yeah.
That's just the way it is.
That's the way it
and
is.
I said it in that game capsule, Matt, when Stephen and I were talking about the beauty of emotion and ebb and flow of high school football. There's nothing like it in any other game, sport, whatever, on TV or not on TV. It's just when you're in a game of the number one versus number two, this had the feel. I've read about it on the internet. I've heard about it from people who were there from schools that weren't there. Mm-hmm. Their normal school cheering for isn't Regina or West Branch, saying this truly felt like a state championship atmosphere and game.
Yeah, it absolutely did. I mean, yeah, as you said, it was number one versus number two. You know, all those things that, you know, had championship game written all over it, even matchup written all over it. I think it was really neat. The atmosphere was incredible, not just from the, you know, the team's playing perspective, but how many people were there.
Oh man.
Was wonderful. And just the fact that it's really just in West Branch's backyard too. That even adds even more to it. It's not like you're playing in some far off area of Iowa where you've never been to, and it's, you don't feel like you're at home, but just on the east side of Iowa City, you kind of feel like you're at home. I mean, I did at least.
Yeah. Well, for you, it was a 2.1 mile drive.
Right. Yeah.
For us, it was a little over eight. But,
yeah.
You know, so, not that bad.
Just that atmosphere was great. And, you know, as you said, the ebb and flows of the game and just the crowd's emotions from both sides of the field was outstanding. It was a wonderful game. I'm really happy that we, you know, have the chance to play in it. And as we said, I think we could have won the game, and fortunately it didn't work out that way. But still, easily the best football game we've seen all year, despite the Bears losing.
I agree. You know? 100% agree. Yeah. If anyone else was like me in the pregame when, you know, we were going through our motions, you know, doing when Tech was broken down, you know, offense and defense tech before we did the routes. And when I was walking towards the south end zone, all the people walking up, I noticed five other schools. I noticed Durant. I noticed Sigourney Kyoto jacket. I noticed a Clear Creek Amana jacket. I noticed the Pella Christian, a Pella Christian sweatshirt. And then what was the other one that I noticed was Mediapolis, because I remember seeing the Meepo. But I guarantee there were others there. Oh, I mean, yeah. I guarantee you there were people from Wilton probably there. There are probably people in Iowa City that didn't go to the City High Bettendorf game that probably came over to this one because it was close. And it was, no offense, it was going to be a better football game. I mean, it was more evenly matched.
Yeah.
I'm sure of the, I'll estimate, I don't know, 1,500 to 2,000 people probably there. That's my estimation. You probably had 15 schools or more represented just to be there beside. And that's, of course, counting West Branch and Regina.
Right.
That's how you know this was a great football game. When it gets in the playoffs, so when your team loses and you want to watch football, of course, you're still going to go. Mm-hmm. You're going to do other games. It's just the way it goes. But, man, it was really neat to see that. And the better part of that is, you know, and we're thankful and humbled by it, is all those jackets and things that I saw, all these kids, they were standing on the visitor sideline. They were there. I'm not saying they were going to cheer for West Branch, but that's where they were.
Mm-hmm.
So 35-28, the final. Matthew, scoring breakdown goes like as so. Regina, 14. West Branch, 7 in the first quarter. Flip that around in the second quarter. You had a 21-21 halftime lead, or not lead, after West Branch's, after Cooper Koenig hits Aaron Barnes on about a 35-yard touchdown pass with not much time left in the half.
Yeah. 27 seconds.
27?
Yep.
Now there's plenty left to score then. So 21-21 at halftime, West Branch gets the ball. I said there in our first opening part of this, I said there were two moments in the game that really changed it for me. One, not recovering that fumble that was so close to being in our hands on the second play from scrimmage.
Yep.
The second one, all the momentum we had built up from that score and not really being stopped much in the first half.
One punt.
And don't score or really put together a big drive on the open drive of the second half. Actually, we drove down and we ended up punting. By the way, Kenan had two punts. One of them was a bomber. Goodness. Both of them were. One was inside the 20.
Both were.
The other one was inside the 10.
Yeah.
So the kid was told to kick away and try to kick to the sidelines to try to get it inside the 20 if he had the chance. And he did that a lot this year. That's going to be something that you don't count on that. When you look at a scoreboard, that doesn't show up.
It just adds to our special teams play that was really good all year. And that was, I mean, credit goes to Regina on those. I mean, we pinned them back, you know, on those two or three, I don't know how many punts we had, but two or three punts. And, you know, that field position really just did not matter to them because they just moved the ball down the field. They just pushed their way down the field, you know, 5-10 yards at a time. And, you know, really, even if they started at the one, you know, it was hard for us to stop them, you know.
It was. And, you know, if you go by just on paper, Regina had one punt. West Branch had two. West Branch's vaunted kick return team never really got things going there. On the punt return, they never got anything on that.
Nope.
Emilio Tovar's kickoffs, we have three or four touchbacks. And if it wasn't a touchback, it was at about the two
inside
or three.
Inside the 10, yeah.
I mean, that's a weapon.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, of the three aspects, we talked about it in our podcast last week, Matt, if West Branch could have won two of three, you win the game.
Yep.
Well, they lost on offense by yardage and points.
Mm-hmm.
Defense, we'll call it a wash because obviously the it's not really a wash, I guess, if you give it more points. So basically they lost all three.
So I was very impressed by our defense from the single fact that they overcame adversity quite a bit just on some penalties that were called. Whether those were correct or not, I'm not getting into that because that doesn't really matter here.
I plead the fifth ness.
I don't like blaming the rest for games at all. But I was really impressed with his defense, yeah, just because of overcoming some adversity. But also, all that Regina could do was run Stinger. Stinger, yeah.
Not Stika. You wanted to say Stika.
No.
Maybe that's what West Branch should have done.
All that they could run there at the end of the game was Stinger, just right behind his tight end and running back on the right or left side of the line. And, I mean, it worked because he'd get 4 to 10 yards at a time.
If it ain't broke.
I understand, but it's – I give credit to the Bears defense because they took away everything that the Regals wanted to do, as far as I could tell, except for that play.
Okay, I'll play the bad guy here.
Go ahead.
And say, on the flip side of that same coin, you got one coin, two sides. You got that side. I'm going to take the other side of that and say, hey, why the heck wouldn't coach offensive coordinator Eddie Hinkle go ahead and keep running that? Bears haven't stopped it all night.
No, I agree.
I mean, there were only two or three times where Stinger was stopped for less than 4 or 5 yards. Yep. The cloud of dust that pops up on that.
I mean, even
you gotta go for
it. You know, even there, sometimes they tried running Hunter, and he'd have a couple good runs, but for the most part, you know, he was effectively stopped, I thought.
Yeah.
So I was very happy with the Bears defense.
Well, Stinger, I know, ended up with 30 carries for around 240 yards, 220 something actually, I think. If I was looking on, look correctly.
5 attempts for 105 yards.
Well, he had more than 5 attempts. I think the papers had him for 30 for something like 220 to 230. Well,
yeah, that
there.
Doesn't make sense.
So, yeah, we'll go with that because he had a 64-yard carry. He had a bunch. Yeah, he had 30 carries.
Yeah, how does he only have 5? That doesn't make sense.
Well, you know, because they're also, if you look down in our stats package, there are 45 carries that are unaccounted for. So, if... You know, I mean, Suckamel had 6, 7, or 8, maybe 9 carries.
Yeah, I see what you're saying, yeah.
So if you take away that, I think, like I said, I think he had 30 for a little over 230 yards.
Yeah,
he was the hammer.
Oh, yeah.
He was, I'm sure he's sore, but, you know, they got the weekend off to relax. Mm-hmm. So to finish out the scoring, we talked about 21-21 at half. Regina, after stopping the Bears, they drew first blood in the second half as well to go up 28-21. The Bears score on fourth down from the half yard line. They couldn't score on the third down from the 1, 6'5" quarterback who on film was in by about 3 feet, according to the QC film. He showed me the photo, but it doesn't matter. It all worked out. He scored on the next play, and all important extra point tied it up.
Yeah.
Then the Bears stopped Regina the only time the defense stopped him all night, besides an interception.
Forced a punt.
We'll say that. We'll say the only time they forced a punt, get the ball back. Get the ball down, get the ball to the 40. You know, 60 yards away from touchdown, probably 40 yards away from legitimate field goal range, and about 6.5 minutes to go, and then they fumble. And, you know, like you said, Grosvenor was on it, just couldn't pull it in. And, you know, and Regina, hats off to Regina and Johnny on the spot. They picked up the fumble, and good teams do. That's why they're ranked number one. They capitalize.
Yeah.
They create a fumble. Mm-hmm. Jared Brinkman on the hit, create a fumble, and they capitalize off of a turnover. That's why teams are ranked number one.
Mm-hmm.
They don't make many mistakes, and they capitalize on other teams.
Yeah.
35-28 the final. So, walking through that game a little bit. First drive, Justin Hunter, touchdown dive. The Bears come right back, drive it right down the field. Cooper Koenig takes it in 10-12 yard. How far was it? It was around 10 yard touchdown.
10, something like that, yeah.
Then kick it back to Regina. What happens again? Justin Hunter dives it in again from about 4 or 5 yards out. And then the Bears punt, but get an interception. So there's that stop, other stop. And then they take it down the field. And I think some guy named Lennox scored on that one.
Well, there was... So, yeah, so the Regals, you know, up 14-7, the Bears punt. Then they fumble. And then Luke Lennox went 64 yards.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That I told you that Lennox guy scored.
Yeah, 64 yards.
64.
The play right after.
I mean, it was done. I mean, you watch it on the blocking. What great blocking on the edge by his receivers. He gets around the end. Good seal on the end by Barney.
And he went right through two Regina defenders.
And once he got it, nobody had an angle on that one.
No.
He gone. 64, extra point, ties it up. Regina goes down. Nathan Stanger scores on a touchdown run. The Bears get it back after an interception. No, not after the intercept. They get it back with about 2.5 minutes to go. Take it down.
4 minutes.
Actually. 4 minutes. Mm-hmm. They score, you said, with 27 seconds left. Mm-hmm. A Koenig to Barnes touchdown pass from 35 yards out to tie it up at halftime. Bears do not score coming out after the opening kickoff. Have a little bit of a drive going. And then do not score. Regina takes it down. Scores on that drive.
The only score of the third quarter.
Yeah, it was another Nathan Stanger touchdown.
Probably.
Yeah, I think it was. Kid's a hammer. Tough to bring down. 28-21. Bears go down and Bears score on the very next drive.
The first play of the fourth quarter.
Yep.
And those couple goal line tries that we just talked about.
That's 28-28. Then we talked about how the Bears force a punt, are driving, fumble in the middle of the field. Regina scores. It capitalized. They score. Bears get it with 2.5 minutes to go. An incompletion, which turned into running down the sidelines and hands up in the air, which turned into what's that penalty called?
Intentional grounding.
Grounding. And they said he threw it from the 15.
Yeah.
And when you watch it on the film, it was about 7 or 8 yards in front of that. Right. But anyway.
Yeah, so the rule is a five-yard penalty.
No, it's actually a penalty. That would have been a half the distance penalty. It's not 5 yards. It's a 15-yard penalty. But that turned out to be half the distance.
Well, the ref came over to Coach Peterson and said it's a 5-yard penalty from where he threw the ball.
Yeah, and they said he threw it at the 10.
So that's why they placed it at the 15, which is why they placed it at the 10.
Man.
Yeah.
And you lose a down on an intentional grounding, kids.
Yep.
And that made it 3rd and 32. The Bears tried to look to be it was going to be a hook and ladder.
Yeah.
And the pass was a little bit short. Then you had to throw it. Then at that point, you had to throw it up. The thing is, actually, Lennox had some space on that play. But the Regals were playing like a quarters defense. They got guys about 40 yards off the ball.
Yeah.
And they get an interception. Jensen gets an interception, and they run the clock out. Mm-hmm. That's the ball game. 35-28. That's it. That's the end of the season. The Bears finish 11 wins, 1 loss. District 5 champions. Quarterfinalists for the first time since 2011. And the 9th. And actually, it's a lot more than that. It's the 15th time overall as they've been quarterfinalists. That's not impressive at all.
No, not at all.
15 times since 1989. So that's 15 times in 26 or 27 seasons. 26 seasons. That's not bad. Over 50% of the time they've played since the end of the 80s, they've been in the quarterfinals.
Yeah.
That's a pretty decent, good run.
13th undefeated season, I think.
13th.
Second in a row.
13th regular season, finishing in undefeated. The Bears will have a 19-game regular season win streak carrying it on into 2016. So let's close up this season if we can over the next 5 to 10 minutes or so, Matthew. Okay. There's no time limit, obviously, but we'll be past it. The songbooks are not. I mean, people still have them in their hands. So
yeah, let's collect all of the songbooks from the season. Put it,
and then we'll collect all the books, and we're gonna sing a few songs of praise and I guess Thanksgiving for what went on this season and be humbled to have been a small part of it. Bears finished 11 wins, 1 loss, Matt, 9-0 regular season, 6-0 district season. Mm-hmm. Finished the season. You've got some overall stats for scoring and yardage per game.
Yeah. overall, the team finished with 4,745 yards this season, which is, I think, 18 yards short.
20 yards.
20 short. Yards.
47.65 was the record in 1992. In 13 games for a state championship team that year. Most of those being rushing yardage.
Wow.
So.
So, just 20 yards short of total offense, yards gained in a season. And the Bears put up 41 a little over 41 points per game, and allowed just about 16 points per game. And they had just about 400 yards of offense per game while only giving up about 250. And of our 400, about 160 was from passing, and 240 was from rushing. Individually, some pretty impressive numbers. Cooper Koenig, quarterback, finished with 1,728 yards, which is a new school record. I think the previous record was 1,625.
Caleb Walter, 2005.
1,625, though? Yeah.
That's right.
So got it just by a little over 100 yards.
He's still on my stat sheet. Bless his heart. He's a well-trained assistant SID. Yeah.
Congratulations to Cooper on that one. And Luke Lanock finished with 1,829 rushing yards, which...
Would you add that with his 2,105, just shy of 4,000 yards in two seasons? So. He's going to have about 250, somewhere in that vicinity. Can't get the official yards. I can't remember those off the top of my head. Sometimes you need quick stats. And quick stats currently is, I think it was on the same server as Hillary Clinton's. It's been blown up. It's just not working right now. Yeah. So they're going to get it back through the Iowa High School Athletic Association. Yeah. But if he's healthy, he will break the career rushing total record of just over 4,400 yards
in
by
school?
Cade Jones.
Cade Jones, yeah.
He will break that record next season.
What'll be interesting, and you know, as I'm done giving some stats here, I want to compare attempts between this year and last year to see how Luke did there versus yardage. And then Matt Schauber receiving at 567 yards, which I think is a little over 200 short.
233 yards short of Ryland Carew's career record of 800 even, or not career, single season record of 800 even in 2010.
Yeah. And
I did that math because he's a year younger than you.
Yes.
And you graduated in 10, so his senior season would be the same year.
Correct.
I know, I'm good.
Yep. And then last one I got for you here, Cale Donovan. 121 tackles.
Not too bad.
And that is adding one for a solo, half for an assist.
Well, and you look at his, in the old days, he would probably had another 60, 70 tackles, you know, probably 60 or so.
If you count assist as one.
Yeah, assist as one. That's why all these tackle records that are out there. Rodney Reed had 25 tackles in a game against Clear Creek back in the early 80s. That will never be broken with this half. If it is, it's going to be the most impressive defensive performance in the history of high school football.
Hopefully Kakmarinski.
Kakmarinski was doggone close. He had 12 solo tackles in that game alone. I mean, and then he had, I think, 8 assists. I mean, he would have had 20 in the old days. So anyway, that's pretty good performance by young Cale Donovan Jr. Mm-hmm. He'll be back next year patrolling the middle of a defense near you.
We'll talk about who's back next year here.
We'll get to that. So, all total, the Bears, you said they averaged how many points a game? 41?
A little over 41.
A little over 41. They gave up about 14 or 15?
Yeah, about 16.
16 points a game, so winning by 25. 41-16. Oh, wow. I got a bad tie-in for you, Matt. You know what I'm talking about?
No.
The last time the Bears played Regina, the score was 41-16 in 2013.
Hmm.
Yeah, bad. You know, that's a tie-in. It's a bad tie-in, but it works. And by the way, the Bears lost that one. So they weren't on they didn't average 41 that year. They lost 41-16. But anyway, that's in Luke Lennox's freshman year. Started varsity. Been on varsity for 3 years. Not many people. And there have been three of them, I believe, in the Butch Peterson era that have played varsity, started varsity football. Can you name the other two? Luke Lennox won. I'm giving you one.
That have started as a sophomore?
That have started as a freshman.
Oh, Eli Elliott.
Eli.
And?
Think West Branch football field. Think Luke Lennox.
Chad Gates.
Chad Gates is the other one. Those are the three. In 32 years, only three freshmen. I mean, I'm in a small school. When you have 50 to 60 kids out, I can see why. There have only been three. I mean, other small schools, when you get 30 kids out, they're going to play out of necessity. here they're playing. Luckily, we're pretty blessed with kids that work hard and they want to play football.
Yeah.
They play out of town because they're doggone talented. So anyway, he will break that record, the career rushing record, next year, provided he's healthy.
Right.
And there's a reason why he's going. There's a, besides him being a really good back, we'll get to the other reason, three or four reasons why I think he's going to have a pretty good shot at that later on in the program. Matt started to touch upon a few of the records. I'm going to finish them up for you, for fun.
You got it.
Devin Kindon, place kicker since his sophomore year, finishes, I believe we'll say officially, with 136 points after touchdowns. That's PATs, extra points. The old record, Brad Janacek, back in the 90s, had 100 even. So that record was not only broken, it was obliterated. It's going to take a long time. But a guy, there's going to be a kid I think is going to have a shot at it. That's the funny part.
Right.
It took 20 years to break it.
Yep.
And then it's obliterated. But Bo Cornwell, who was a freshman this year, mm-hmm. so like technically he started, but he played special teams. He kicked 12 out of 15.
Yep.
So only he's averaged 42 kicks over the next 3 years. The Bears put up some points. He's going to have a shot. He's going to, there's no, not guarantee he's going to be the kicker.
Nope.
But I'd say he's going to have a leg up on the competition there.
Real quick, Jay, I mentioned that I wanted to look up the attempt numbers for Lenach.
Yes.
This year he had 227 attempts. Last year he had 235 attempts.
So 13
more.
He
had one more game this year.
Yeah.
But there was one game that he only had three attempts this year, I think.
He got
against Columbus.
Yep, that's correct.
So
give him 13 more attempts and his average was like 8.5 yards a carry probably on the season, something like that. He still wouldn't have got it, but he would have had he would have been doggone close to 2,000. I mean, he'd been close.
Well, I mean, it's hard to it would be hard to expect to have a passing record and a rushing record in 1 year, though we were close last year.
We were pretty doggone close last year.
Yeah.
Really close, like 17 yards close last year. I mean, that's about as close. And I still get blamed by offensive coordinator Jared Tyler for not telling him. Miller should have told me. We could have thrown a couple more passes, but, you know. Cooper Koenig, aforementioned quarterback, Matt did mention he had 1,728 passing yards, which broke Caleb Walters' 10-year-old record. You add his passing yards to Brandon Remmelhart's passing yards. Well, Luke Lennox threw a pass, too. It was incomplete.
Sure.
You add those up, you get 1,912 total passing yardage. That is a team record for passing yards. 1,689 yards was the old record set way back in 2014, last year, by a combination of Lucas Lamont and Hunter Wargo. Last year, threw for 82 yards last year, 81 yards, sorry. 1,608 and 81, I believe, comes up to 1,689. So that long-standing record was broken.
I got another record for you.
What's that?
I don't know if it's on your list.
There's a list.
Okay. Aaron Barnes? Is that not it?
That's on my list.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Are you sure it's on your list?
I don't need it. It's 380 yards.
Okay. Well, I think we talked about this on a previous episode, but Aaron Barnes, with the first punt return in the Albernette game, broke the single-season punt return yardage record.
You know who that was? Who had the record, Matt?
Couldn't tell you.
Come on. It's Hound Dog 5 on the Twitter. Hound Dog 5.
Oh, Jay Schultz?
Jay Schultz. You know why the Hound Dog?
Couldn't tell you.
Because he was part of that vaunted Hound Dogs defensive back quartet back in the 2000 season. JT was also in that. That's Jared Tiley, not Timberlake. He wouldn't play at the little Rose Bowl. Not good enough.
No.
He can keep that music crap. No, I'm just kidding. So, congratulations, Mr. Barn. That was, I believe, on 20... He averaged near 23 yards per punt return. That's not bad. That's not bad.
No.
So the record on that is 26 yards per punt return by Adam Hahn is 26 yards and somebody else is 26. My guess is they didn't return as many punts as young Mr. Barnes did in their seasons. And that's not no slight. because 26 yards is a doggone good return. I mean, Matt Chauver returned, you know, averaged over 20 yards a return this year. He had one. He took one to the house, for goodness sake. You know what I mean?
I know what you're saying. When I'm...
Go ahead.
What I'm seeing here, according to the stats that I have, it's 17 punt returns.
That sounds about right.
Really? That's it?
Sounds about right.
Okay.
Let me look to see if that checks out with... Yeah, it does. 17 for 390, by the way, on yardage. Averaging 22.94 yards.
390. Yep. That's what I got.
Matt Schauber had 9 returns for 204. The record was 294. So, I mean, you give him another return, another shot at for a 90-yarder, he might have done it.
Yeah.
Both of them combined, they both had a touchdown. Aaron Barnes had 2 of them, back-to-back games.
Yep.
Wargo. That, I can't recall that ever happening in my lifetime.
Wargo had a kick return for
90. Wargo had a kick return for 90. Schauber had one for 79 yards and a touchdown at home. I believe that might have been against, was that against in the playoffs?
I think it was.
Against Columbus?
Mm-hmm.
Columbus, sorry. Well, he averaged 22.67 yards a return. Also in the mix, Sam Martin's 1 return for 22 yards. The Bears all totaled 41 returns for 816 yards. I don't know what the Seagulls season punt return yardage record is. I got a feeling that would absolutely blow it up. I'm really going to have to dig into the depths of the sports information department's vault and find that one.
That's, you're going to have to find it, look through a lot of songbooks.
Yeah. His 17 returns are one shy of the single season record. J.B. Wagner returned 18 back in 1989. So, yep, sorry you didn't make it enough attempts to tie the record on that one. Old John Brown gets to keep his record. John Brown Wagman gets to keep his record. We ain't no hicks. So, got that one. Matt pulls it out. Koenig had 19 touchdown passes, one shy of Caleb Walter's single season record of 20. Back in that 2005 season we've brought up twice. But you combine that with Brandon Rummelhart's 3 touchdowns. That adds up to 22. How many passes do you, touchdown passes do you think that 2005 team had total?
21.
20?
20, yeah.
Oh, by Walter. Well, that record is now fallen. Congratulations on that. 22 touchdown passes combined.
These last 2 years...
have been pretty decent on, you know, pretty healthy.
A lot of 2014 and 2015 members on that record award.
There have been. And have we talked about Koenig's 5 touchdown passes versus Wilton?
We just did.
We did? We got it right there.
Yep.
Name the 2 quarterbacks who had 4. Actually, there were 3 quarterbacks that had 4.
Cooper Koenig technically had 4.
He technically had 4, but that's not, well, so 4 then.
Aaron Vincent.
Vinny. 96. One of them should be a given. We've mentioned about 4
Caleb
times.
Walter.
Caleb Walter had 4
against
Belle Plaine.
Lamont didn't.
Lucas Lamont had 4. Okay. So 3 guys had 4. Congratulations to that those performances. But the one that's going to show on the record book, Cooper Koenig, 5 touchdown passes versus Wilton. What was the significance of those touchdown passes, Matt? They were what? All...
in the first half.
In the first half of the game. In a 55-14 victory over a previously district undefeated, a team that was undefeated in the district coming into the 8th game of the season, who had just beaten Al Burnett the week before.
Yeah.
And we put up 55 on them and 5 touchdown passes, shell-shocked in the first half. Done. It was, what a great performance that was. Last one I've got. Matt already brought it up, but I'm going to say, kind of explain how this worked out. The Bears' positive yardage had 4,814 positive yards of total offense. The record is 4,765 yards, as I mentioned, in 1992. The team, state championship team in 92, 4,765 yards. So 4,814. Get out your calculators now. Or use that Common Core math in your head. And then let me know tomorrow what answer you come up with. 48-14 minus 68. Or was it 53?
Well, I just said there's a 53-yard difference.
There's a 50.
If I did my math
right. If you did your math right, there you go.
I think I did.
Now the Bears had at the end of games or the end of halves, would you take a knee in that wonderful, my favorite formation, the victory formation, the V, the flying V? Actually, it's not really flying. You're just kind of standing there. Take a knee to run the clock out. Bears did that a lot to the total of, well, minus, Matt.
68 yards.
68 yards. So do your math.
So my question is.
Yes.
Okay. So what? So about the previous, I guess the still standing record.
The still standing record.
How many of that?
Probably a good question. My guess is not many. I mean, I'm sure there was some victory formation in there because the Bears won a lot. But they also had a 50-point rule then.
That's true. You didn't have to kneel.
If you're up 50, it's over.
At half, yeah.
I could go back and say I bet they probably did that a couple of times.
Yeah.
By halftime or after halftime, once you got up 50 before the end of the game, between once the halftime gun shoots off and the fourth quarter gun goes, anytime in that area, you're up 50, Dunsville. Mm-hmm. That team didn't throw the ball very much. Tiger Stout had 1,699 yards rushing that year. Mr. Glazebrook had about 1,000 yards rushing that year. So, I mean, they ran the ball. How I say the teams throw it all over the yard, they ran it all over the yard that year. Probably to about, I'm guessing that Ryan Gordon might not have been a 1,000-yard passer that year. So, running the football, they did a lot. I wouldn't know. I'd like to check that stat out.
We gotta compare oranges.
You know what? I'm gonna try to see if I can go back into that. I gotta find the key to the vault first, and then when we walk in. Boy, it's gonna be like a treasure trove.
Yeah,
treasure of. Oh my gosh.
Breathing mask.
Yes.
Wash your hands.
Because you don't want to taint any of these records. Because if they're still standing, they should be. Yep. And one we didn't. I forgot to write down the sheet that I just came up with, Matt. Do me a favor and go to your.
Stats.
North Cedar stat. Now, the official stat on this is going to be negative 45, I believe. I don't know if that's probably going to say negative 15. But I went back and physically watched it myself.
Okay.
The game three times. As the SID, I wanted to be sure on this one. Against North Cedar, the Bears disallowed or allowed, or I don't know however you say it, North Cedar had negative 45 rushing yards in that game. Which, by the way, last year the Bears against Wilton had negative 39 rushing yards, or the Beavers. I don't know if you allowed or what you do when it's negative. I said this last year, it's just confusing. Their total was negative 39. Mm-hmm. So negative 45 is actually less than negative 39.
Correct.
I think, right?
Yes.
Okay, still Common Core is still teaching that too, mm-hmm. I hope. So, which would make it a new school record for defensive futility or excellence?
Yeah,
let's go with excellence.
I only had the total yardage allowed, but let me bring this up.
We went back and we added this one up by physically watching it, so I think it's actually...
Yeah, these stats were a little messed up for this game.
That's it. That's I think that's it for all the records. So whoever fixes the record books up there is going to be busy again this year.
Yep.
Next year he's going to be even busier. At least one portion of the statistic board, somewhere in that rushing area, probably going to be pretty busy next year. Most of those stats are already his anyway. The funny part is we talked about career receiving record of 800.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that's on the board. Nor is Cade Jones' career record. We got to make room for those. Those are career records at a position, at a statistic, man.
Yep.
We got to make room for those. We got to find a way. We got to write it in. Yep. And Coach Randy Sexton's got pretty handwriting.
He does.
We might let him write that in.
I like his handwriting.
Okay. We'll let him.
So overall, Jay, wow.
So let's go. That's
fantastic
all done now.
Fantastic season.
So it was a great year.
To say the least.
Yeah. Here in the next few weeks, this coming week, Coach Peterson just sent me a text message saying that they are going to he and whomever are going to come together to make a decision on when the end of the season celebratory banquet is, appreciation banquet is. And once we find that out, of course, we will give you the information right here on westbranchfootball.com.
So that's one of the things going on this offseason.
There is.
The other one.
We're going to do a highlight film again.
Once again, just another wonderful way to relive how incredible this season was. Not just from the records, but just from the you know, how well these guys played, the results that we had after each game, the way that they all gelled, the way they had fun, you know, and that's not just the players, but the coaching staff, everybody involved with the program. It was just, it was just another fun year to be a part of this program, and I'm sure you could say the same, Jay.
No, I don't like it. I really don't.
But yeah, hopefully we're going to get started soon on another highlight film and try and capture that magic that is West Branch football once again.
Yeah. And okay, I'm going to push pause on that portion of it and then come to this and then record. Should have added this to the beginning, but this is where it's at. It just came to mind. I personally want to wish the Regals best wishes going forward.
Yeah.
I want to wish Regina, great game last Friday. The season ended on November 6th, I should say. Wish them well going forward. I know they got Dyke New Hartford at 10 a.m. That's another state championship caliber game.
I'm looking forward
there.
To watching that.
That'll be a fun one.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that'll be a great game. You got two physical. Dyke New Hartford, I'm not going to sugarcoat it. They're going to run the football. They're going to pound it at you. Trent Johnson, he's about 5'0", 100-0, but he's a hard runner. They have wonderful schemes. They have a wonderful coaching staff. And, I mean, they stymied the Bears last year at the point of emphasis at the line of scrimmage.
I was looking forward to another West Branch Dyke New
I would have been
matchup,
fun, man.
You know?
I know Finney.
Man.
Talking to Finn throughout the year, he would have said, I want the dream scenario of playing Regina and Dyke.
Yeah.
And, Bears win, they would have had it. But, you know. Yep. But anyway, congrats. Yeah. Blah wishes to the Regals going forward. Hats off on a great win on Friday. But Matt talked about the highlight film. We're going to put it again. I'm going to call it an honor for us to be able to put that together.
It really is. Yeah.
It's so much fun.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, heck, I don't know about Matt. I can speak for myself. Is once you say a game, it'll take me about 1 minute to start remembering pretty much everything about the game. And Matt put the little 5 to 7 minute highlight packages together for each game on the website. I'm pretty sure he's probably seen a highlight or two, a player or two that he can remember.
Oh yeah, absolutely, and
no doubt about it. No question.
There's no question about it. But what's fun is that, you know, the stuff that went into those, that was maybe 20% of the cool like extra footage that we got of you know whether like Coach Peterson being mic'd up, you know, stuff on the sidelines in the huddle before the game, after the game, that kind of stuff. That will just kind of make the film a little bit more special too.
Yeah. If you got any ideas for a special feature that we can put on there? You need to do it. I mean, right now, one of them I have.
Don't.
It's going to be called.
Don't do it. Oh, Jay, your mic's not working.
All right, is it working again?
Yeah.
Okay, we're back.
We got it.
Okay, good.
Yeah, we got it.
We got it working again.
Yeah.
So.
Some other stuff that's awesome.
I'm glad we were able to share that information because it's something for them to look forward to.
I don't think we should have shared that. But.
Well, you know, it makes maybe if it's a way we could sell another one or two, then okay.
Yeah. So some other things to look forward to, and this is probably when we'll come back with our next episode. If pattern holds true, but 2 years ago, the state released the district pairings in January. That lined up, you know, that told us who our district opponents were going to be and what district we were in and what class we were in, etc. I assume we're still going to be in class 1A.
We are going to be in 1A. I would put a Moline lock on it if I could.
All right.
I will give it a Moline lock. I'd mortgage the house on it.
All right.
But we don't do that at the high school level.
No. So we, I assume we can expect that in January, and then either late February or March is when we'll kind of get the full season schedule.
The process on that, Matt, really quickly goes: once you get the districts put together, mm-hmm. within a week, we usually get together with the other coaches or athletic directors. And, you know, say, hey, you know, just get together. Hey, how you doing? Great to be in your district again. Or, okay, we need to set up our JV schedule. So you get your JV as much as you can. You try to get some JV games with the other teams in the district.
Mm-hmm.
Travel concerns, of course, come into play on that. You know, when, for instance, 2 years ago, when you're playing Cardinal and Van Buren, who are 2 hour drives apiece, playing a JV game on a following Monday, it's just
tough.
Not easy. It's tough to schedule that kind of a thing. And with Bellevue, the Bears actually did that this year, and good times on the way home on that bus ride. but that's kind of what happens there.
And the other piece of it too is, I'm sure. So once all the once the football season gets over for everybody in the state, I believe the state will release kind of a form that each team will fill out that kind of says, okay, for your non-district opponents, who would you like to play?
And here's the three. Here are the top three. I think we're going to put on our list next year.
I think, right?
Yeah. But here's my top three that I think we're going to put on them next year.
Okay.
Wait for it here. Let me think it out. Well, the first one's pretty obvious.
Mount Vernon?
Iowa State Cyclones.
No. Oh, man, if we could.
If we could.
Jeez.
Playing at the wind tunnel of Jack Tri-State. I guarantee we'd fill at least 2% or 3% full.
I bet we would.
On our side.
Yep.
Which about half the crowd. But no, I'd say Mount Vernon might be in there. Mount Vernon's going to go back up to 3A though soon. They're getting bigger. Okay. Yeah, I mean they lose a wonderful senior class this year, but they're going to have a good offensive line back next year.
That would be a tough test.
That'd be a tough one.
Yeah.
Semifinalist.
Yeah.
Dome team.
They're still going.
I mean, they make the playoffs for the first time in 10 years last year.
Yeah.
And Coach Peters, Lance Peterson, now they're a semifinalist.
They knocked off Anamosa. Bad news is though. You got to play Albia.
Well, here's the deal, though. Yeah. If I'm Coach Lance Peterson, yeah. I'm going to my agent and restructuring my con. I want an extension now. Where's my bonus? I want that extra, you know, child all activity pass thrown in for making the semifinals. I got to go to all the activities for free next year.
Yeah, how about that?
Yeah. And get a bag of popcorn and you know, Snickers bar.
Soda.
Something like that, whatever you want. You know, I would say that. Some teams you'll probably, I don't know. If I had my druthers, I'm not going to say this is what Coach Peterson's going to say. Mm-hmm. Lisbon's been fun. I think Lisbon will still make the list. I think West Liberty will still make the list. If
I'd kind of like to see Tipton.
Well, you might get to see them twice as a district
opponent.
Are they
dropping down?
I think they dropped to 1A next year.
Oh, wow. Interesting.
I think, who is it, drops? Somebody in our district drops to A. But Van Buren's popping back to 1A.
Okay.
So I think they're going to be forced to either be with us or they're going to go west with like Interstate 35. But that's a lot of driving. So I my guess is Van Buren comes back up with the West Branch District next year and replaces the one that we lose.
So you think our district will overall be the same?
I think it will be pretty doggone close. And I really think Regina and West Branch might be split again. Just because of the geography of the teams going east.
Mm-hmm.
I think Wilton and Durant stay. I think Tipton stays. I think Bellevue.
North Cedar stays.
I think maybe. Northeast Goose Lake might be popping in there. But the funny thing about these districts next year, Matt, it might not. The state has discussed two options. They've discussed 56 teams is the number.
Okay.
They've discussed 8 7-team districts. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So if you have 7 teams, you're only playing. You're doing that similar 6 district games, 3 non-district games, like we've had the last 2 years. The other one is 7 8-team districts. So then you have more district games. You have 7 district games, which is what they did a couple years ago with 64 teams. And what the idea is, they're going to get all the district champions, and I think district runner-ups or somewhere in that combination. But district champs are obviously going to be a lock. There might be a case if they did the 7 districts with 8 teams where you get 2 at-large teams. So even if you aren't first or second in your district, your play of the 13-point rule, I think it might be the tiebreaker there. Or if there's 2 7 and 2 teams that didn't make it.
There's going to be 16 playoff teams, right?
There's going to be 16 playoff teams.
Right.
Personally, thank goodness for me. I no offense to the 2 West Branch teams that made it by the 32 thing.
Yeah.
And I'm glad they got in 2012 and 13. That's just too many games. And no more Wednesday night first game. It goes Friday, always. Whatever, from now on.
Yep.
So teams don't have to play a Wednesday game, get 4 days,
well,
come
play
back
a
and
Friday to
play
end
a Friday
season.
To Wednesday, 5 games. Then they play
days.
Friday, Wednesday, Monday, Friday.
Yep.
4 games in 14 flipping days.
Yeah.
Sorry, Iowa High That's School rough. Athletic Association. Ain't working for me.
Nope.
It's about, they talk about safety. That was the right decision by Mr. Tharp and Mr. Legg, and I'm sure people wrote to him. You gentlemen made a great decision on that. That's the way to go. If we're going to promote safety, that was the right way to go.
Teams get left out, but
yeah,
I
but
mean,
that's
one,
the way it goes.
A team that's 1-8.
Yeah. I know some people are going to say
seven,
this.
2-7, 3-6
yeah.
probably should not
some,
get
Some people
get
are
going to
say, well,
playoffs.
In every other sport, every team makes it. Well, then that means we're going to have to cut the season down and play a playoff game. Right. You're not going to get nine games in.
Start your playoffs.
Football is the toughest sport there is. It's the physical sport there is. It's always been this way, where teams have to earn their way. Mm-hmm. Football is a game of, you know, I like it. I'm never going to be a proponent of every team in football making it. That's just me. That's not. No way is this indicative, or is this the opinion of the West Branch football department.
Opinions are our own.
Yeah. So now let's get back on topic.
Yeah.
So some of those things to look for in the offseason, you've heard a few. How about, Matt, we talk about some of those people coming back.
Mm-hmm.
Let's move on to 2016. My gosh. Which would make it the 25th anniversary of the Bears' first undefeated state championship team in 1991. Kevin Braddock. Braddock! It's going to be 90 yards. It was 91. Braddock. 311-yard state record rushing still stands. 25 years later, his 311 rushes on 20. Did not. 23 carries. Sorry, Mr. Hinkhouse, that the record is not broken. Kevin Braddock is the record holder. The Iowa High School Athletic Association said it on Twitter last week. So it's got to be official. Twitter's all binding.
Oh, of course.
It's binding.
Yep.
So, because the word's out. On 23 carries, and the significance of that?
Three quarters.
He only played in three quarters. He had five touchdowns that night. Four rushing, one reception. In a state championship game, a whooping. 42-13. West Bend Mallard. Mark Kakmarinski was on that team. Kakmarinski name. So, who are some of the guys we should look forward to next year? Yes, Mr. Lenock is back. Mm-hmm. We've already mentioned that. And I said there were three or four reasons why I think he'll have a shot at breaking the record, Matt. What are those reasons? Or names?
Oh.
As to why?
I'll give you three names.
Yes?
Jacob Barnhart.
Yeah, that's one of the reasons.
Cole Tysinger.
John Crawl. And the tight end is also back.
And tight end Cooper Cobble.
Cooper Cobble is back.
Yep.
Those are the reasons
so
alone.
You've got your left tackle.
You've got your whole left, right basically now, the left side of the line.
Left side of the line, including center. And then, you know, you probably throw in Colton Dietz at right tackle.
Dietz.
And Blackie at right guard.
Well, not the commercial.
Kind of thinking right now, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you're looking at that. Those are right. I mean, arguably are going to be, you know, those two are definitely going to be in the mix.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah, but I think Dietz's that left, worked that hard left on side defense. Of the line is
that's going to be where the meat and potatoes are made and earned and eaten. Right there.
Mm-hmm.
I think with Lone on those, he'll get his 400 yards. Yeah.
And then, you know, quarterback, you know, you've got Brandon Romehart or even Bo Cornwell.
Rummy's definitely got the leg up there.
Oh, of course.
He's seasoned.
Oh, yeah.
That's my quarterback.
He's NFL-style quarterback.
You see the way he throws those balls all day, Jacob Steika? Yeah,
he can throw the ball.
And Bo Cornwell had a very successful season at the junior varsity level.
Mm-hmm.
He got his feet wet a little bit. Kicking the football to see what it feels like to be at the varsity level under pressure. I got a feeling, again, he'll have the leg up on that position.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and you mentioned Lenock back at running back. Fullback.
Fullback will be.
With Kendon going, you know, you could maybe see Derek Sparks.
Derek Sparks probably, I think, is going to be in the mix. Next year. I think he'll be in the mix. That Sammy Martins will be back.
Sam Martins.
Yeah. Did a good job.
Yeah.
I think you're looking at receivers coming back. Obviously, Cobble slips out there in the sets.
Time to time.
I think you're going to see Garrett Tucker played some. He'll be back in that mix. He'll be a senior next year. I think you're going to see a sophomore this year, junior next year, Benny Thompson. Ben Thompson's going to be in that mix. Other than that, it's going to be fun. You know, Jacob, who knows? Steik might be in the Jacob Steika could be in the mix.
He'll be a senior.
He'll be a senior next year.
Yep.
Who knows? Maybe Colton Dietz goes out and Steika goes to the line. DT would be a hammer to break down back there. But the Bears and Cale Donovan is probably, you know, might get in some blocking situations, might play fullback. You never know.
Yep.
But he's certainly going to be back at that middle linebacker spot.
Oh, yeah, that's
Jake Evans is going to be back at the outside linebacker. Led the team in sacks with about 14 sacks.
Yeah, we've got our two ends coming
back.
Coming back too.
So, I mean, and then you've got
Tucker on
you've got defensive tackle. Colton Dietz back.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
You've got guys who played defensive tackle in Tysinger and Barney.
Mm-hmm.
Jacob Barnhart this year at one point are back.
Yep.
So you're going to have a nice rotation there. And then, you know, you look at the defensive backfield, it's going to be, besides Tucker played quite a bit there this year, it's going to be wide open.
Yeah, I mean, this is from defensive back and wide receiver kind of losses as well. You lose Aaron Barnes, Matt Shaver, Hunter Wargo.
Yeah.
And they were big players on offense and defense. So that's there's going to be a lot of room for guys to step up and fill in for them. Yeah. And
But Jacob Graves is going to be in the mix there. He played quite a bit. I mean, he got a good long look this year. In fact, the games when Matt Shaver was injured, he started at cornerback. Mm-hmm. That's he's seasoned. Yep. So I think you got to think he's going to be in the mix, maybe at the top of the mix. Mm-hmm. Like I mentioned, Ben Thompson probably in the safety mix. Billy Freese is going to get a look. Mm-hmm. I mean, every year you get new names coming out.
Yeah, Coach Kelly and Coach Hills are going to get those guys ready for sure.
So those are just some names that you're going to hear. But we got a long time to go. It's a lot of turnover. Probably some other names that are going to pop up, new names. I think the recruiting letters were just sent out this week. I'm just kidding. They weren't. That's an absolute joke. I was kidding 100%. So something to look forward to. And if you're looking on the calendar, today is November the 8th.
292 days until Friday, August 26th, which is probably the first game.
That is so funny. We were thinking, see, that's why he was added to the Sports Information Department. We were on the same page there. I was talking about it. He's already doing the math, and I didn't even watch what he was doing. This is great. So, Matthew, wow, it's all kind of coming, running back at me now, not just on the field, but off the field. A lot of fun things happened. The Bears with the throwback jerseys again this year against North Cedar. They did the first annual,
Liberty.
Against Liberty. You're right, it was. It was throwback. And then the first annual was Military appreciation that was supposed to be against North Cedar, but it got rained out or postponed, so to speak, to the which game?
Senior night against Wilton.
Record-breaking senior night.
Yes, that's right.
Nobody in the history of the school has ever had a better game than that night than we did in the camouflage jerseys. No one ever.
Nope.
Anybody that played that game has got a program record for best performance in a camouflage jersey.
You know what, Jay? I like those red jerseys.
I'm a red jersey guy.
I wouldn't mind bringing those red jerseys.
I want the
back.
Old red with the Bears cursive. That's just me. That's just the way I am. But we're back in black.
Nike's got a really cool team website thing where you can go and design your uniforms.
I said, let's put one out there just for fun.
And you can make multiple and vote.
Yeah,
I think
you get the matte helmets, those matted color helmets, man.
There's so many possibilities.
We could have some dadgum fun.
We could. I think we should do that for fun.
Yes. So you vote on. Yeah, we'll put a poll up. You vote. Now, I don't think it will have any bearing on what the new jerseys next year are going to look like.
No.
But one thing I can tell you, you can vote on it, but you won't ever see it. As part of the whole uniform is what, Matt? White pants. They're not going to be around as part of the uniform, I got a feeling.
No.
White pants aren't going to be worn tonight. They're not.
Ever going to be worn.
Maybe not. Well, not. I won't say ever. But at least until the longstanding era.
The Butch Peterson era is over.
The Butch Peterson era comes to an end in like 2013.
Yeah.
When that comes to an end. So this probably is pretty close to bringing our podcasts for this season to an end. This is podcast 28. There have been
28
podcasts in the last 2 years, and it has been fun bringing those to you. And it wouldn't be possible without some wonderful, humble donation. We're humbled, to accept the donations and help from sponsors like
Casa Tequila.
Casa Tequila.
EMS Detergent.
Who, by the way, sorry, Casa Tequila evidently sponsored the Iowa High School Athletic Association's video feed the other night. Congrats on that one.
Yeah. Dan and Julie Hayes at EMS Detergent Services. They were generous enough to donate some Bearcast branded jackets for us this season. You may have saw those the last couple of
Free
games.
Country.
Yeah, there's some very warm jackets.
For the first time today. It was actually pretty warm.
With our Bearcast logo on there. Yeah. So thank you very much to Dan and Julie Hayes over there at EMS Detergent Services. Also, Hodge Construction, they sponsored our Hodge Construction player profile that we did each week as part of the Bearcast pregame. Also, some video on the website that you'd see on game day. where Steven interviewed a senior on the team to talk about, you know, the previous game, what they were doing for the next game, and then just kind of some stuff that
when they go back to the future, what are they going to do?
Right, yeah. What that player did, you know, outside of football and what their future plans were. So we'll definitely continue that next season, as was a great way just for everybody really to kind of get to know the seniors on this team. Also had Main Street Suites, Liberty Communications. Liberty did our assistant coach minute, where Steven, as part of the pregame, Steven talked with an assistant coach or a manager on the team, just to kind of understand what their role was on the team, what their coaching experience is, how they got involved with West Branch, et cetera. So, and then certainly last but not least, Deb and Brent Donahoe at Plato Farms.
So, yeah.
And some other people behind the scenes as well that not only, you know, donated some money, but donated time as well. And we'd certainly like to give a lot of thanks to Stephen Grace, Mike Quinlan, and Jerry Flagel for running the Bearcast every Friday night. They did a tremendous job calling each game for our radio broadcast for everyone around the world to hear. I think it was only like 30 minutes after the game the other night, we got a wonderful email from actually a Regina alum and Regina fan who was happened to stumble upon our broadcast because the Regalcast was down. Found our broadcast, and she just wanted to mention how professional Stephen, Mike, and Jerry were, even though it was a West Branch football, you know, production. She was very impressed on how professional those guys were. I mean, that doesn't surprise me at all.
No,
you know, so. That huge thank you to those three for everything they've done all year and the time that they've put in to make that broadcast very, very special. And then also a big thank you to Troy Shanker, who did film for varsity and JV games. They're at every game, every single second of the game, recording film for huddle purposes for scouting, and also the film that you'll see in the highlight packages that go out, the highlight film, etc. And then Tom Berger, Sideline Tommy, him and I were on the sideline all year recording, you know, from field level video.
The lens.
Yeah. you know, in the huddle stuff, pregame, on the field, postgame, the walk, in the bus barn, etc. All this cool normal video that you don't get to see just from the press box view. So big thanks to Tom Berger for doing that. And then finally, I do want to say thanks to Chad Schutte, Darren Lamont for doing stats this year. Chad's, you know, he did every varsity and JV game as well. Darren was there for most of those too. And wonderful job by Chad. And he's got we found him a good iPad app to keep those stats on. It's really simple for him to send them off to media, send them to us, send them to coaches right after the game, and get them quickly up on Quick Stats. So we have those stats.
And then one more person who's adding to the film evaluation for the West Branch team, and is going to add some film that we'll use for the highlight film, Matt.
Yeah, friend of mine. His name is
That would make two people.
Oh, okay. Then. Who'd you have?
End Zone.
Oh, yes. I'm sorry. Yes.
Jimmy Lloyd.
Jim Lloyd, sitting up there in the crow's nest.
Graduated in the 50s. We're talking a guy that's like, I think he's 73 years old.
He's still going
and
strong.
He sits up there.
He's still going strong.
Every week.
Yeah. Big thanks to Jim Lloyd for sitting up there in the crow's nest for the home games, recording from the north end zone, a view from the north end zone. I know Coach Ty Lee loves that view just because you can get a really good look at how your line's moving, because you've got the view from behind him, or in front of him, rather, from the side. So it's just another great angle.
Matt, what's your friend's name?
His name is Justin.
Justin. We got to thank Justin
for
doing some stuff to help us out in the last home game of the season, in the playoff game against
Pella
Christian, for helping us out and getting a little film footage for us.
That's all we're going to say.
Yeah, and we want to appreciate his addition to the team, so to speak, here. And I haven't seen it completely yet. I was there when he was filming. It was pretty cool. Just saying. I mean, It's pretty cool. And we're going to get, there's so many different things. You know, thanks Brandon Keeler. We talked about the military appreciation. Brandon Keeler and my cell phone for beeping. Brandon Keeler and Dave and Kathy McElrath. We've mentioned it before, and it will not, it can't go without mentioning it again for the, all the work they put in behind the scenes to make the Military Appreciation Night something special. I mean, they got, we had jumper paratroopers jumping in. We had military equipment. We had military folk personnel or retired or still active weekend guys once in a while, women and men along the sidelines with flags. The whole team had flags walking down the street. Robertson Painting offered us their boom truck to film this. So Derek Robertson was up in the boom. Randy and Chris, thank you guys for that. And Derek. And then at the end of the first quarter, recognized all the vets of war that and were in attendance and active military. Yeah. And there were a lot of them, a lot of people.
Lined up
then
on
they lined
the
up west side, and then they ran, walked right up through the crowd, and people were high-fiving them.
That was such a cool moment.
I mean, and you got to play Rick Derringer, Real American, in the background right there, brother.
It was a really neat moment.
Yeah, and then, you know, all those things we say that have helped out this season with film crew and things. You've got all the players, but they're led on a field, not by just their captains, but by their coaches. Coach Butch Peterson, in his 32nd year at West Branch, finishes the season with a career record of 281-69. Wow. Probably not going to reach that 300 plateau next year. If he sticks around a couple, or three more seasons, he's going to have a pretty doggone good shot at reaching 300. And I'm going to tell you, there's only about a handful of people in the history of Iowa high school football that have ever done that. That's pretty doggone impressive. I can name the other four he was on the other 50 margins, and hopefully he'll be around to see it if he's around for 300. But his coaching staff, associate, assistant, head coach, however you want to say that, and offensive coordinator, Jared Tylee. You've got also on the varsity staff, offensive line coaches, we'll say, Kyle Higginman and Telly Zuniga. You could really see this year where their tutelage, their coaching abilities came together and brought this team, basically had to replace four linemen. After the first game with Finnegan going down, you have four brand new linemen, and you take them to the quarterfinals. Help, you give them the keys to drive the car to the quarterfinals. Defensive line replaced everybody. Both ends were gone with Westcott and Travis Wolf, Nick Westcott, Travis Wolf gone. Both all-state caliber tackles. You got one that's playing for the University of Iowa Hawkeyes, Jacob Giese. You got another one on a scholarship with Iowa Central and Big John St. John. So you got to replace all four. And to see what happens with DC, Grosvenor, Finnegan when he got back was an absolute hammer the last two games, brother. Holy cow. And then you throw in two brand new ends in Cabala and Evans, and they come back next year.
Yeah, Kevin Crossweight.
Kevin Crossweight, special job. Teams. Well, oh, my conscience.
He had some defensive line coaching, too. Wonderful. Defensive wonderful job by Kevin.
That. Cole Kelly joined the staff for the first year. You ever heard of him?
I don't know who he is, no.
Well, I tell you what, he's a neighbor of mine and graduated in 2010. Year 10 graduate?
Yep.
Oh, yeah. You never
I don't
met.
Know how I missed him.
It's a big school. I could see how you guys wouldn't see one another. But, you know, having him around to help coach the running backs and the defensive backs with his wealth of knowledge. I mean, he was a single season record holder in rushing. His senior year, he had 1,994 yards, which stood until Lenock broke it last year. So he's got, and then he went on and was a great back at college. So having him around for the first year, and then Tyler Bailey helping out with the linebackers specifically on defense and as an assistant defensive coordinator, what a great job. Yeah. And then you add in the JV coaches, Chris Robertson, the head coach, Bryant Robertson, assistant, John Hirschman, the JV offensive coordinator. I know he helped out. Coach Tylee mentioned how he helped him out all year. Hirsch was a great addition to the squad. So on for the varsity.
Yeah, Hirsch and Robertson's were up in the booth, coaching booth for varsity games, with helping just kind of bird's eye view, looking at different things.
And then Matt Hills, assistant coach Matt Hills, who was also the pregame speech coordinator again this year. So that's the coaching staff, and we're thankful for them and all their contributions they give to the lives of these young men, not just on the football field, but for the rest of their lives. They're going to remember the lessons they learned on the football field. And if they don't, then I'm sure most coaches would say we failed at what we've done, because football's not the only lesson that you should be learning when you're playing football or any sport. You shouldn't just be learning the sport. Mm-hmm. So I don't know what else to say. I think Matt, I'll go ahead and what do you got for your final words here?
That was quick.
Yeah.
It seemed like just a month ago that we were starting up, you know, preparing for Lisbon and meet the team's night and media day and all that stuff. And just really was just almost seemed like a blur.
Yeah.
At least for me, as far as, you know, as quickly as the time passed. But, man, this was it was a fun season, and I'm going to miss all those seniors, miss this team specifically. Just with the being able to interact with them the little bit that I had the chance to. They were a fun squad.
Really quickly, not to interrupt you, but I'm going to interrupt you.
No, I was done.
Who the heck are you going to do selfies with now? Grovey's gone.
That might have to be one of our highlight team features. Yeah. Our highlight film features.
Okay, we'll give that one up.
Okay.
That one we can give up.
I don't know.
Selfie stick thoughts with Matt Chenander.
Yeah, I don't know who I'm going to do selfies with.
Yo, well, I'll tell you what. We'll just open it up. If you would like.
I'll take applications, yeah.
If you would like to be in selfies with Chenander. Chenander.
Hashtag.
Hashtag
selfies with Chenander.
Hashtag Matt's moments. You know, you throw your name in the hat, we'll vote on it. But really, are you done, really? That's it? That's all you got?
You know me, Jay, I'm not a man of words.
Me much either. I'm not a much of words. From my perspective, before I get into the season, I tell you what, this crowd, you guys got a treat this year. I can't imagine what next year's podcast is going to be like. You see him, Matt Chenander's all grown up. Last year, he was really bottled up those first few games. Didn't say much this year. Tyler Bailey wanted more cowbell in the form of Matt Chenander. Well, he got a lot of chin this year. You got your Matt Chenander voice, Bailey. You asked for it, you got it. I mean, I said that he was on a minimum. I put him on a word minimum each program, and he was overachieving. He was, you know, and every time he got over it, I bought him a Diet Pepsi. And I mean, that's not worth.
Well, the one you got me today, I think, was just a Pepsi.
That was just a Pepsi?
Yeah.
I said diet. They give you a regular Pepsi?
Yeah, a lot of sugar.
That's
in
poison.
There. That's a lot of sugar.
It's just poison to the body.
Yep.
So it's been fun being a part of it with Matt. Man, this season. I mean, I realistically thought this team was going to get minimum to the quarterfinals, and they did. You know, people will say, oh, yeah, no, you didn't with all we had to replay. What we question marks. We're like, no. I expect West Branch football teams to be successful because we've been successful and the kids want to be successful. Mm-hmm. They don't want to break the chain,
right?
To borrow a line from Caleb Walters' senior year. That was their motto. They don't want to be the ones that breaks that chain. And this team didn't break the chain.
No.
They held the rope, so to speak, pulled it tight. And gives you something, going to give next year's team something to really have to shoot at. Cooper Koenig and Aaron Barnes Barnes was kind of an addition also, you know, welcomed additions to this squad,
mm-hmm.
Gave the team just what they needed at certain positions.
Oh, absolutely. Yes.
My biggest surprise, and I told him this much after the game on Friday, and I was so proud of, pleasantly surprised and proud of Ian Andrews. Kid that really didn't play much before this year, was thrown into the Wolves, held his own.
Yeah.
He held his own.
Yeah.
I was proud of Cole Tysinger for it. He took a year off. He came back, performed at a very high level. And you'll see that at the end of the year awards. You'll see where he's at. He's a junior. Oh. He played his freshman year, skipped his sophomore year.
Okay. Barnhart's a sophomore.
Barney's a sophomore. And boy, that's not really a surprise to me. I know his size. I know his heart in that weight room. And same with Johnny Crawl. I expected those two actually would be pretty good leaders on the line, and they were.
Yeah.
And it's good to have them back, especially at the center position, to have a guy back. A guy that's going to make all the calls probably. A lot of he and Barney and Tysinger all together next year are going to be lethal. But I really appreciate having the opportunity the last 2 years to throw the routes on game day with – Hunter Wargo and Matt Shaver and Cooper Cobla. You guys, I'm going to miss that. I really am going to miss the you two guys up there. Coop, we're going to have to talk about it, see if we want to call it a life on that, you know, quit on a while we're on a high, or do we want to add to it and build on? Keep it rocking, baby.
Don't break the chain, Jay.
Don't let it end. Cue some, I think that's Styx, you know, back in the day. But
couldn't tell you.
Thank you guys for making this a good season. Thanks, Drew Finnegan. You know, I've never seen anything like that. A kid breaks his ankle, gets told he's not going to be around, you know, no way before December or January he's going to be able to work. Works hard, and if any kid was going to do it, it was Drew Finnegan. It was going to put himself in a position to play again, and he played at an extremely high level. As the Pella Christian coach said, good job, not a bad game on one leg. Told him in the line after that game. Man. And Drew, we've known him for years, man. We've literally seen him grow up. You saw it, the Bickford and okay. It's cool to see a kid battle that has gone through a lot of things that most 17-year-old kids haven't had to deal with, some of the things that he had to deal with. And to see him battle through some of that stuff and have a fairly productive end to his senior year in the way he handled it and went over and, you know, when some things were happening after the West Branch Ridicini game, he took it upon himself to sort of make peace and went over and, you know, walked over and shook a hand. Ethan Succomel,
yep.
Hats off to him, too, for making that moment happen and, in a way, sort of, hid what was, you know, could have been a semi, not really ugly, but sort of a interesting situation and turned it into a positive for me. And that's something I'd expect a lot of people to do that. And he would, not very many people to just think of it in that moment when your team's down and you're probably, oh, it's over.
Yep.
He's one of the kids I would probably think would do that. Not saying that other kids aren't capable of doing it. Well, I didn't expect that to happen, but it did. So thanks for everybody who was a part of this season, and thanks for being supportive of the podcast and the Bearcast and the website, and you know, for Matt for all his efforts on the website and making this it's the best website, high school website, easily in this state, one of the better ones in the country. We're a little bit selfish and stuff, but there aren't many that are going to be like this. Most of them are run by high school kids. Not saying they're not capable of doing some work, but they're usually not putting instant feedback, not instant articles, instant video, instant audio, not doing the things that we're doing. I encourage, if you're listening to this and you're from a different school, Matt, I encourage you to do something like this. Anytime you can promote kids, promote the youth, the good things, that's what we should be doing. Teach your children well.
Yeah.
Well, that's it, Matt. The songbooks are on your left, my right. They're already passed in. There's somebody with, you got gloves? Okay. Yeah, protect them. Keep them clean. I mean, we want to make them look pristine. Oh, yeah, I got them. So they're being put into the bag to put in that vault.
Yep.
You got a key? Because I'm going to need it to get in for all these things I'm going to have to look up. You got a key. Good. Yeah, it's fun. I'm talking to an imaginary person right now on a podcast. This is great. That's all. it's over, man. It's been a fun year. We're going to celebrate it here in a week or two or a couple, three, whenever we do it, with the end of the season banquet. We'll get to celebrate a little bit for a couple hours, have some food and fellowship, and really celebrate some wonderful achievements. Some All-State awards are going to start flowing through here in the next few weeks. I guarantee there's going to be some West Branch representation on the all-district teams. I can also guarantee you there are MVP awards at position. As I was at that meeting, I can guarantee you that there were some individual players who were voted as MVPs at their positions. I'm not going to give that away. You'll probably see that in the newspaper this coming week. Now that the Bears are done, they'll probably start posting those things in the local newspapers. Lucas Stanton, coach at North Cedar, thanks for running that ship. And then All-State ballots, there are going to be a lot of kids, because I can personally attest to nominating pretty much, well, let's just say a lot of kids yesterday to the Des Moines Register, and will do so again this week to the Iowa Newspaper Association All-State teams. And if there's any All-State team, Matt, we're going to throw kids out there. Mm-hmm. Anything you can do to try to get any kid recognition for the hard work they put in for three months, but really more than that because of the weight room stuff. So thanks, everybody, for listening. We thank the Bear fans for being who you are, the best, and they're the best out there. Thanks for following us. As Matt said, we thank you for following Steven and Quinn and Jerry and Matt and myself and all the other guests who are part of the halftime this year on the Bearcast, Mr. Bucknell, Mr. Hatfield,
Mr. Berger, Coach Berger.
Sideline Tommy, that's Tom Berger, the new boys basketball coach. Abby Nulk, who was the faculty homecoming coordinator. Lee Crawford, good friend of mine, activities director at Sigourney Schools.
That was it?
I don't know if that was that it.
I think that was it.
We had to have more than that. We had seven. That was only five people. Who am I missing here? Oh, Kathy McElrath. Yeah,
yep. And Matt McElrath.
And, oh, how can I forget this one?
John Miller, your brother.
Almost got me again. I got to talk to my brother. That's pretty cool. That was a long time coming. So thanks a lot, you guys. Gosh dang it, man. That's cool. Well, but thanks a lot for listening to that and for your support of the Bearcast. And we always already listed the sponsors. But thanks again for tuning in to episode whatever it is, 28 officially. And we hope you're going to be around next year as we join you right here on the Talking Bear Football Podcast
from WestBranchFootball.com.
Take care, everyone. Spin.